Wow, sports fans, Fork Sports Highway back on the air. What do we have? April 4th, I think, is the date today.
No, it's April Fool's Day, isn't it?
Well, April Fool's, that might pretend for tomorrow when we have that big game playoff in the video game section, maybe.
What video game playoff is that?
Who's the odds-on favorite in that, Katie?
Yeah, probably Katie, I suppose. But yeah, there's this big, there's this, you know, Pixel Pros show has got this video game contest going on, and
2 o'clock.
I can't wait till tomorrow to see what happens.
Tomorrow at 2 o'clock?
Yeah. Is it 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
Tomorrow. 2 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 2 p.m. on GFBS or any time after the fact, watch it on demand. Monty will be facing off against yours truly and Joe Montana, Sports Talk Football 93 on the Sega Genesis to crown the first ever GFBS Bowl champion.
Oof. You know, I've always wanted to get in on this belt over
and,
here.
This will be on the line. We got a custom-made trophy. It will be on the line tomorrow. Shout out to Scott Kildee and the crew at Gameplay Integrity Fundraisers. There, yeah, they do a bang-up job. Good stuff. Trophies right. will be on the line.
Yeah, and you know, I'm nervous because I don't play a lot of video games, so. It's been a long time.
You don't stand a chance.
I'm trying, Bill. I'm trying. Fork Sports Highway. So, what do we got for a title? I got Caitlin versus Paige. And if you sports fans out there don't know who that is or what that is, you better look it up because Caitlin Clark, obviously the top sports story in women's college basketball all year long. Scoring champion, broke Pistol Pete's all-time record, broke all the women's records. And then Paige, I want to say Buckers? But yeah, I
that
can't,
sounds right.
I'm not sure how her name is pronounced, but she's from Minnesota, and she's the star player for the UConn team. Has spent a lot of her career injured, battling back from injuries, but is back on top of her game. Playing as well as any player there is. And so we have those two matched up against each other coming up this weekend.
Should be Friday.
Friday, yeah. And then also, my second thing was the Yankees started off 4-0 going down to Houston Astros. Took four games in Houston, Bill.
I think I heard that.
Well, that's not.
I didn't watch any of it.
Well, I'm sure you didn't. But they're 6-1 right now, so they took. They took four games from Houston, and then they took two more from who else were they down there playing? But they went out to the West Coast and did these games, and so the Yankees are 6-1.
You're the only person in North Dakota that has the YES Network, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. The YES Network. Okay, that's a good one though.
That's what they are, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes.
And what does YES mean?
Yankees, I guess. Yankees Entertainment System, or but Rajon Rondo retired. You know, he bounced around quite a bit at the end of his career there. Tough guy. Didn't get that 2009 championship with the Celtics. Well, come back here. Sit down for a second. 1 second. You were sitting here when the show started, so you better.
Yeah, but I thought.
No, because I get through the title. The next topic is Frozen Four, and of course, I have to address the fact that over here across the table from me is my co-host, the legend Bill Deutsch.
Oh, I thought you were talking about.
It's me.
Somebody important.
Well, that'd be you. That'd be you.
You didn't even figure out I wasn't here last week yet, have you?
Oh, I did too figure that out.
Oh, you figured
that out. I was debating between whether we were better off with us old guys or that youth group.
I'd say the old guys are better.
And then, of course,
I know I told you at least 5 times a week before that I was going to be gone.
I mentioned after the show, after we wrapped up yesterday, or might have been towards the end, I can't remember, but I was like, oh, yeah, I think Bill's in the cities this week for this week. And there everyone was like, oh, yeah.
No, the dog sitting.
Mm-hmm. The topic was whether or not it was last week or this week. And I'm positive you told me, Bill, but I'm such a busy guy. I can't keep those little details in mind. And then, you know, you're always so good about reminding me, like, last minute or something like that. And so
I was so busy with my dogs.
Well, all I know is everybody else on the show was concerned that there was some medical issue or something.
That maybe, Raven was concerned.
Yeah,
Raven was concerned.
She definitely, would you call him? Would you call him and
she
find out what's...
She's pretty good about that.
Yeah, so...
Shout out to Raven. She's unable to be here tonight.
Yeah, but no. And I was like, nah, I'm pretty sure he's okay. We'll check on him later.
But we do have a very, very awesome person sitting in for Raven today, Monty. Oh.
That's you? No.
A million of me can never replace Raven.
Well, who are you?
I am Mrs. Monty Stensland.
Oh.
Or Mrs. Stensland or Sandy. I go by Sandy.
Well, when I go to your school, how come they think I'm your dad then? No.
Oh, I know. You might want to feel free to put this guy right in front of you here. There you go.
You're not wearing a hat, that's why. And they just see something that is kind of bald.
Well,
and they think you're my dad.
And that's been going on since like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Pretty soon they'll be my grandpa.
Oh,
ouch.
Womp, womp.
It's video.
Oh, you got a...
That's the video.
Well, we should do an ad right away so that she can do it since she's so much better at it.
Oh, yeah, I will do an ad.
Well, yeah, but they're video ads. But
there is one ad read ad we do have. River Cinema ad.
I've been having Raven read these. So she does an excellent job on these, so don't mess this up.
I hope. I need my glasses.
Well, put your headphones on too so you can hear. But no. I've been pushing this off on Raven the last couple of weeks because sometimes we overlook some of her sports savvy and just make her talk about the logos. But
all
right, here we go.
Okay, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and a movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured attractions are Civil War, Monkey Man, Omen?
Yep, First Omen.
Godzilla, Ghostbusters, Arthur the King, and Kung Fu Panda, and Dune Part 2.
Dune Part 2 is the best movie out there.
Hey, it's amazing.
What about Monkey Man?
Well, that'd be me.
Yeah, that's Monty. Find the complete showtimes online at rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family-owned and operated. There you go, the ad for River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Check it out.
Woo! Heck yeah. Civil War.
Wow.
New leader in the clubhouse.
Not bad. But Monkey Man, that's me.
For sure.
I am.
The monkey bite.
You guys know that, right?
Do you know his story?
I've actually been bitten by a monkey.
What did you do to tick off a monkey?
Oh,
I was on safari back in the day.
No. So. Spanked it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Monty.
Susie wouldn't stay down.
Okay, you could just say the story.
Oh, back in the day, one of my friends I grew up with, his older brother used to go to Africa and bring back exotic animals. And they brought this, it was actually a chimpanzee back to Oberon, North Dakota. And they owned the bar. And the chimpanzee used to sit in the bar and drink beer and eat cigarettes and play with us. We used to play with that thing like it was a kid running around with us out and it got to a point where it would be anytime we would be leaving, there'd be like 6, 8, 10 kids around. The last kid that was there, it would attach to. and it jumped on me and bit me, and I have this scar in my arm ever since I was 8 or 9 years old from this chimpanzee bite.
What were you doing in the bar at 8 years old?
Drinking, just like now.
Chocolate milk. Nothing but good old wholesome chocolate milk.
No.
Okay, Monty, I think I have to go. I have to go meet my friend.
Well, there's the lovely Sandra Ellingson.
Stensland.
Stensland from right off the farm from Minnewaukan.
Sandy Cameo.
That's it.
1982 MVP Madoc Bobcats basketball team.
Heck yes. Yeah.
Sports,
for sure.
Sports girl here.
I can sit in next time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'll have a lot to talk about.
There you go.
Heck yeah. Sports!
Okay, bye for now.
Yeah, you go meet Deb and find out what the latest is on your girlfriend.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how about that?
Sports, yo. Peace out.
Okay, now we don't have to be
so politically correct or so like PG-13 or whatever we are.
Well, we can say whatever we want
We can start talking about...
under Paul's rules now.
How bad the kids in school are.
Oh, and they're good kids.
How we have to beat their parents and their kids, too.
They're good kids. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Give me a stick.
Oh, no. Monty. Oh, no, Monty. Well, Monty, you got your titles. Where would you like to kick things off today?
Well, I think we should talk about those girls' basketball. I mean, those you know, we've all saw the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, last year championship game, right?
Well, I think I've seen that.
Yeah.
Pointing to the ring finger.
Yeah, the walking around with the hand in your face.
Too many times, but.
And, you know, Angel Reese is a really good player with a different kind of an attitude to go with it versus the Caitlin Clark who basically ignored her.
Well.
Ignored her throughout that situation.
She's had a very rough year.
Clark or Reese?
That there have been death threats. There's been everything.
Yeah, she hasn't been happy since she won the championship. The $3 million in nil money.
Yeah, so yeah, LSU won the women's championship last year against Iowa, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But and they handily won the game, and it was that when the game was basically over with, was she was following Caitlin Clark around the court, sticking her hand in her face,
kind of doing like the John Cena "you can't see me" expression,
and
also pointing to her finger
and the ring finger, and you know,
the controversy.
Caitlin Clark may not end up winning the championship this year, but she did definitely get the total media attention all season long with her scoring records and her barrages that she put on.
She got the redemption win in the rematch in the tournament.
Well, she did, but did she run over to the bench and wave her hand around or do anything? No, she did not. She ignored her, basically, until they went through the little handshake line, and there was this little brief hug. But to listen to the post-game conference where Angel Reese has not been happy since she won this championship because of all the death threats and the negativity, when she's been on every talk show, every award show, she's been out there paraded as like a model in New York.
Well, she was in...
Well, it's like been...
In the Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
Exactly. That would tell you it all right there. She was in the swimsuit, Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue as a basketball player.
It's been Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark really dominating the women's hoops publicity coverage and to a lesser extent a couple others, but mostly a lot of Caitlin Clark, a good amount of Angel Reese. And there was, I know Keith actually has a comment in the chat here about the, I have a follow-up on that, Keith, a little later in the show about the tickets for the women's Final Four are more expensive than the men's Final Four. We'll touch on that in a bit, but there's been a lot of coverage, media attention going into that game where Iowa did get the win over LSU. It was a heck, and it broke all kinds of TV viewership records too. It broke the old record for women's college hoops was the 1983. Southern California, Louisiana Tech championship game
with Cheryl Miller way back there.
Yep, that was that far back.
Mulkey was playing for Louisiana.
Because, well, back then, like, college hoops outdrew
pro hoops. So let's make sure we get that out there to our viewers.
I got some numbers for you here.
Go ahead.
So, the LSU-Iowa Elite Eight game that just happened a couple days ago on Monday night, that set the new record for women's hoops TV viewership. 12.3 million. The previous record was the 1983 championship game matchup, Southern California against Louisiana Tech in the NCAA championship game. That had 11.84 million. So I guess, what was it common back then for college hoops to outdraw NBA hoops? Because back then, a lot of NBA hoops was on tape delay.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not really at all. For men's college hoops, for sure.
Well, I think they could. I saw a stat about they outdrew the Stanley Cup too.
Well, I do.
These girls?
Yeah.
Well, I
do have another kind of stat to bounce off that. This game was also the most watched basketball game on ESPN since the 2018 Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Cleveland Cavaliers and Boston Celtics. So, yeah. So, most watched basketball game on ESPN in several years.
The viewership is huge. These women's games, I watched both those games from start to finish, 6 o'clock to about 11 p.m., and I don't know that I've watched two women's games all night long like that. And it was great basketball. It was entertaining basketball, and it was basketball, Bill. It wasn't that horse shit we're seeing where people get to carry the ball from half court on in or no travel, and it wasn't three-point shot like in the NBA, trip after trip after trip. Well, it was actually pounded inside, pounded outside, a full... The women still actually play basketball.
Yeah, I saw the highlights from the Iowa LSU game, and yeah, it was Iowa got the win, 94-87 over LSU.
Well, but she also gets a lot of assists too.
Yeah, she's a great passer.
Oh,
tremendous passer.
Some of the passes that she tries.
And early on in the half court set, she had like 4 or 5 turnovers. But on the break, on the fast break, the baseball passes or the long court passes, I was amazed by her teammates on the wings getting out there, and then she just kept putting the pass right in their hands.
Well, I mean, you talk about a complete package. I remember there was a lot of the early tournament matches. A lot of teams were speculating that, you know, they're going to come after Caitlin Carter. She's going to be well defended, but you know, she can counter that by mastering the assist game.
Oh no, she was, and I will throw a bone back to Angel Reese because she had 20 rebounds in the loss. I don't know, like 14, 15 points and 20 rebounds, something like that, which is a pretty good stat line too.
And she didn't play the whole game either.
Well, hardly, because she was in foul trouble.
Right.
But yeah.
And then she did fall out, so.
Yeah.
And Caitlin Clark came out, what was it, 41 points in that game, I believe, for Caitlin Clark. So.
41 points and double digits and assists.
Yeah. And like, not easy shots either.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. She took over the game in the third quarter of that game.
Because what did she have, 9 three-pointers?
Yes. She couldn't get that 10th one, though.
Oh.
She tied the record, but she couldn't get that 10th one to drop.
She ended up
9 for 21, I think, from 3-point area, and so even Sandy pointed out that, well, that's not even 50%. But yeah, from 3-point, that's pretty damn good percentage.
Should I just run down the Elite Eight matchup there? That's leading up. The Final Four is tomorrow for the women there. So I'll just run down the round of eight here, the Elite Eight. So we had, and if you guys saw any of these, I only had a chance just to see the highlights from Iowa LSU. But if you've seen anything from these other games, just jump in here. We had South Colorado beating Oregon State 70-58. NC State, North Carolina State defeating Texas 76-66. And like we said, we have the Hawkeyes defeating the Tigers there 94-87. And then Connecticut defeating USC 80-73. So in the Final Four, both games taking place tomorrow at 7 p.m., 6 p.m. our time here, we'll have South Carolina taking on NC State. And the other matchup, we'll have Iowa taking on UConn about a half hour after that game wraps up.
Kind of an ironic thing is UConn has both their men's and women's teams in the Final Four, and also South Carolina, right?
Both teams. So yeah, let me. I got the men's brackets here, so I'll get that up here. So
North Carolina State. I mean, yes.
Oh, both they have teams in the Final Four for both the men and women. That's got to be rare for that to happen.
Well, for two of them, yeah.
Maybe it's common for just one team, one school to have that every once in a while.
Well, normally, if you're a football school, a basketball school, or it's always been Tennessee was always the girls' representative. Then it switched over to UConn, and then
Tennessee.
And I would say, I don't know that
Connecticut and NC State both are in the men's Final Four. Yeah,
I don't know that LSU has ever been a real power in either men's or women's.
Back in the huge early days, it was Delta State. Remember Lucy Harris?
Well, I thought something about Louisiana Tech too, and I think that's where the coach is from. Mulkey is.
So was that where she was playing when they played against USC back in that?
I don't know. I said that just.
Well, no, I know, but she was.
She could have.
She was a pretty heralded player herself, but of course, in those days, I try to look back, Bill, and I go, Nancy Lieberman, Cheryl Miller, there's not a lot of them that were of note in like national scene. Mm-hmm. The one thing we you see that one commercial on TV about where Reggie Miller came home to his dad and talked about he hit for 30 or 40 points or something, and Cheryl hit for like 110 the same night. And she wouldn't say anything. She was sitting there like, well, I had a pretty good game too, 110.
Holy,
gosh.
I don't think she had 110.
Monty, Bill.
No, she literally scored over 100 points herself, Bill. She did. She did. Cheryl Miller.
What level play was this again?
Was she playing the blind school or what?
No, that was me. That's my running, and it's so politically incorrect these days because the very first official basket I ever scored was against a deaf school, and you should have seen me the next night against the blind school.
Did you really have back-to-back games like that?
No, we did not play the blind school. Okay, we played the deaf
school. The deaf school had a team, but not.
It had a good team because
I don't
one of the
think
best players.
The blind school.
Well, one of the best players that ever played in the state of North Dakota played for the deaf school. Steve Blem is probably still the all-time leading scorer that ever played in North Dakota. The guy had an 85-point game. He averaged like 45 points a game.
I guess.
With no three-point line. And these were all bombs.
Well, I guess that was pre
all
three-point
bombs.
Line, yeah.
If he'd had a three-point line, he'd probably that would have been a 100-point game, and he'd probably average 60 points a game. I saw him play in the Oberon gym against the Oberon Bulldogs for the deaf school and drop like 50 points as a kid.
Monty, while you stepped out there, I was asking Bill, I ran down the rest of the women's Elite Eight games set up the Final Four. Did you happen to catch any of the other women's tournament games from the Elite Eight?
I did. I was watching all those games.
Gosh, you must have been on a big just hoops heaven marathon.
Well, it was bouncing back and forth, men's, women's, pro.
Well, actually, don't you think the women's game, they were more exciting than the men's?
Well,
more closer matchups.
My point is, Bill, is that they actually play basketball. They play all of it. They play defense. They play offense. They play half-court offense. They play set offense. They have screens. They have zone defenses. They have man-to-man defenses.
They press.
Where the men's game has turned into a three-point fest, college and pro.
Well, Caitlin Clark takes her share of three-pointers.
But she makes them. She is the Steph Curry of college basketball, women's college basketball.
And they're not like right on the edge of the arc threes.
Oh, no,
they're like bombs.
Oh no, they describe them as logo left.
Logo
threes. So half court logo left. Half court logo right.
I think they're embellishing a little bit.
She could hit those shots against men too. So I mean, I could see where she could play on some men's teams as well as she passes. She would get destroyed on defense and stuff on the way back, but She'd be able to make those shots, whether it's a guy or a gal.
You got to think that Netflix is chomping at the bit or some kind of streaming service to do some kind of charity or just TV viewership ratings drop to have like a 3-point shootout contest with Caitlin Clark and a few NBA players.
Well, wasn't she already there? Wasn't she already there for the NBA 3-point shooting contest or something?
I don't know if she was.
There was something to do with the women being involved, though.
Yeah.
But I don't know if is there, this is probably more your guys' wheelhouses. Is there some kind of NCAA rule where even in like a 3-point competition, you can't have an NCAA player against an NBA player?
Well, I know they have it like in the McDonald's.
Like a charity thing?
High school deal.
Yeah.
They'll have the men or the guys champion will challenge the women's champion too. I mean, I just saw it this week.
Or I know like, we're talking about like for preseason exhibition play, like they had the Gophers against the Twins, like that. But but no, I think that would be a cool thing for, you know, Netflix is starting to dive in these like special attraction sports draws with like, you know, Jake Paul and Mike Tyson and
I don't think too many guys would want to play Caitlin Clark.
Gosh, well, I think like shot. I think it would be a heck of a ratings draw, though. I mean, you can't deny it. Is if Netflix dangles a high payday carrot in front of them, that Netflix money to who knows who?
Yeah, Steph Curry would be a good one. Steph Curry
versus Caitlin Clark, and like heck, you can throw four names in there and make it more marquee names to entice the draw there, or make it a tournament fashion. See who advances. Make 8 players. Make it like a 3-hour special.
Juju,
or something.
Get Juju out there.
Oh no, no, you bring her up. Juju Watson played a hell of a game too, but she was a freshman,
right?
And she was carrying that USC team against that UConn team, and they were actually bigger.
Was Bronny playing with them too, or he's at USC, isn't he?
Yeah, he's at USC. You had to do that,
but he's not at USC for long. It doesn't sound like.
Well, oh, nope. Here we go. This one.
Hello.
Supersonic Steve.
Yeah, there's
no Raven today.
Dale had to do that because Raven's not here tonight.
Oh no, Raven.
Yeah,
who's? Oh, it's Dale's birthday today, isn't it?
Dale's birthday. Yeah, he's
21.
He's gearing up for a big video game showdown tomorrow.
Yeah, Monty will be a guest on tomorrow's episode of Midwest Super Pixel Pros. He'll be taking me and him. Will be squaring off for the first ever GFBS bowl trophy. We got.
They can't beat Katie.
That's right. Katie and Paul squared off in a rollerblade game.
It's a tough deal to take on a guy like Dale in a video game.
Oh gosh, Monty's.
He knows everything there is to know about every video game that's ever existed, and I have little limited knowledge. But I'm coming prepared for him, like I'm Ric Flair.
God, woo! Yeah. Gosh, yeah. Thanks for the birthday wishes, Supersonic.
Body slam him. Nah. If I don't win, I'm going to body slam him.
Bring it on, Monty. Yeah.
What was the one?
Flaming table.
The only video game I ever played was it Pac-Man, where you boop, 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 they'd eat the little things. Yeah. You know, that's how old I am.
Hey, you can't go wrong with the classics. You got to respect the classics.
Well, I'm right behind you.
Yeah. And I was never good at it anyway, so.
But I did have my son was younger, I used to buy him video games and I would have to play him, and there was a time when I could beat the shit out of him, and then there came a time when I couldn't ever beat him again, and that's when I quit playing.
I'm tired of you kicking my butt.
Yeah, when he was 6 years old and I could make him cry, then it was one thing.
Then he was making you cry. Yeah, and that's when you quit. Yeah, there you go. I know how that works.
Yeah, he's like, okay, Dad. And then anytime I would score or something, it was like, I let you.
Yeah.
I just let you do that. And in fact,
I got a story about that with my son.
Yeah.
He never beat me in a game of horse.
Oh.
And it pissed him off so bad. But it was like, hey, man, you want to play? You want to play for money? No, I don't want to play for money. I just want to beat you. Never did.
How many games would you say you two've played?
Oh, man. Hundreds.
Ooh.
Hundreds, yeah.
Did you get close?
He might have beat me once, but you know, that's because I was blind and I couldn't see out of the other eye, and I was shooting left-handed and he was shooting right-handed.
And you were like about five vodkas in.
I see Keith in the chat is saying, "Give me the old arcade games any day." And I guess we should. I could get back to Keith's past comment about women's Final Four games are more expensive than men's Final Four games for tickets. I had a little news bit on that where I saw this. It was the average price paid for a ticket on the resale market this week for the Final Four games are higher for the women's than the men's for the semifinals. So according to a technology company that tracks it all across multiple platforms, the average price of a ticket for the women's semifinals is $2,323. The average resale price for a men's semifinals game is $1,001.21. So more than double.
That's more than
where are they located at? Where are they located at?
Where are they going to be playing the Final Four?
Yeah, where's the girls and the boys playing the Final
Four? They're playing at Cleveland. The women are.
The women are in Cleveland, yeah.
I'm not sure where the men are.
I don't know where the men are, but yeah, I just think that the women...
I don't think they want to go to Portland from...
Well, the one game...
Did you hear what they did in Portland?
Men are playing in Phoenix.
Yes, I did. The three-point line was offset, and that's where the... UConn women played. Who the heck did they beat there? USC was on that court with the effed up 3-point line.
But was it shorter or longer?
The one end was shorter, but there were more made 3-pointers on the other end. That was normal because people aren't used to shooting, and it wasn't the UConn USC game had been fixed. They'd got the 3-point line fixed.
Oh.
But it was the game before that where the teams had the opportunity to complain about it, but they were like a primetime game. And if it was going to take over an hour to fix the 3-point line.
Well, it'd have to dry if they painted it, or they probably just taped it, did.
Well, yeah, but it was still going to take over an hour, and they weren't going to be a primetime game. So both teams just agreed to play with it the way it was. And they both ended up shooting better on the long end than the short end, you know, because they're not used to, you know, if you're going to shoot a 3-point shot, you're going to shoot a 3-point shot. You're not going to shoot a 3-point shot less 6 inches.
Who could do something like that? I mean, if you're a facility manager, you want to be responsible.
Well,
for
the dude was sitting back in the back. You know, we're out on the West Coast, so the dude was eating edibles or fucking smoking a big doobie. It's like that Kansas City Chiefs.
He had his Kansas City Chef's moment.
Yeah, exactly.
The Snickers commercial.
That's exactly what that was.
And maybe it's like, yeah, maybe no one will notice. I'm not redoing this.
The dude doesn't have a job anymore.
Yeah.
Oh. Did he actually
get fired?
No, I'm just guessing that. But Supersonic Steve, you got guys out there painting your lines on the roads and stuff. They paint them across the road. Are they still working for you?
lines are going
no,
on the shoulder.
They don't. I've been kind of known as a hard ass.
Yeah.
You know, do it right or don't do it at all.
Hire guys like that.
Well, she might, but if they do that, I mean, come on. The 3-point line like 23 feet 9 inches or whatever it is, and suddenly we do like 28 feet?
Well, the one in Sioux Falls has like about 3 or 4 different lines down there because I think they had pro basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll see that. Yeah, some will have pro, then they'll have college and high school. They all have their different arcs, right?
Right, and you'll have like a semi-pro team, so you'll have 3 or 4 different 3-point lines, and that's got to be tricky as a player to deal with that.
And as a ref. As a ref, too. I mean, trying to figure out which one is shooting me.
Don't feel sorry for no refs there, Superstar.
Okay, I won't.
Those guys have been taking a beat ass all tournament long because they can't get nothing right. Nothing right.
We kind of recap the women's Elite Eight. Should we hit up the men's Elite Eight to lead to the Final Four?
Fire away, Dale. I have followed that less than I have the women's.
Okay.
I'll have to tell you that because The Caitlin Clark and the Paige Buckers thing has been really the top story. I want to see those two guard each other. That's what I want to see.
All right. Well, for the men's Elite Eight, we had Connecticut defeating Illinois 77-52. Alabama over Clemson 89-82.
Back up. Just to preface. So Illinois, Connecticut. Connecticut went on a 30-0 run
in that game. Wow.
That is like one of the most ridiculous things ever.
I haven't seen Connecticut at all.
Supersonic, you ever play against a team that ran off 30 points on you?
No, exactly. I never did.
Embarrassing as hell.
No, you slug some guy in the face, get kicked out of the game, and let's see if we can
before that happens.
Down.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Yes,
I thought you were going to talk about the Alabama North Dakota connection.
Okay, go ahead. You got it. It's yours.
He's doing.
What's the score?
Okay, I got a couple more games here. So Alabama over Clemson, 89-82. Purdue got the win over Tennessee, 72-66. And the Duke Blue Devils, right? They got the win over NC State. Oh no, sorry, they lost to NC State, 64-76.
Okay. Before we even get another second further, can any of you guys tell me what state Clemson is in?
South Carolina.
Ah, there. See, Bill. You know, and I knew you'd fucking know that.
Of course,
you're the only person on the goddamn planet. Clemson, South Carolina, is actually a town. You know that?
Okay. No, I didn't know.
That's
that.
Where Clemson is, and
that'd be a good place for it to be.
Well, I had to look up because I raised so much hell with Raven the last few weeks about the Gamecocks, South Carolina. You know, University of South Carolina Gamecocks, right? That I wasn't sure that there was actually a South Carolina state, but there is.
Yeah, I knew that.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
The South Dakota coach went there.
Yeah, that's why you would know. Supersonic, this guy's fucking ridiculous.
You guys have been battling today, man.
I even kind of followed Washington State too.
The stuff you know is like I'm like this sponge of sports knowledge
myself.
Where's
the Citadel at?
South Carolina.
Yes.
Now I hate both of you. I don't want to see the love. I don't want to see either one of you.
So
you guys need to go on a vacation.
The only reason I know that is I drove by it one time. I was looking at some equipment down there, and I looked over and I saw the football field. It was a city. And I was like, that's the only reason why I knew it.
It can't be that place.
When I was trying out for Baltimore, there was a guy from the Citadel that was there. So I got to meet a guy from the Citadel.
Well, you know, people think I don't forget nothing, but you don't forget anything either.
Yeah.
Bill, you said there was an Alabama-North Dakota connection?
I think Monty kind of is close to that connection.
Monty can clue us in here?
What, the Alabama what?
You said North Dakota connection?
Well, okay, so Alabama beat Clemson. Both teams were in the vying to get to the Final Four. Neither team has ever been there. So we looked that up. And Alabama, you know, we're dealing with Grant Nelson from Devil's Lake. And I think he spent most of the game in foul trouble against Clemson.
Yeah, he had a better night the night before.
Well, he had the big game against North Carolina. North Carolina.
Yep. Huge game.
Yes, he did. But then the guard, I forget the guy's name from Alabama, but that kid can knock the ball down from everywhere.
Oh, they got another forward that's a good player.
I know
too.
They do. I mean, they have a nice, well-rounded staff.
Isn't he coming off the bench?
Nelson? No, he's starting.
Oh, that's right. He is. Yeah. Okay.
He's starting. So it's crazy to me because Grant Nelson's dad and I ran around for years together. We were boozing buddies and we partied and done things together, and he was not really an athlete at all. He lost his dad when he was a young guy, so he had to run the farm by himself. So he didn't have time for sports, and you know, so he wasn't even in school, really. He was too busy taking care of the farm as a young guy when he should have been in high school. And all of his sons have turned out to be the exceptional athletes. Like, I think,
and daughter too.
Well, daughter too, but I think the one son just had this phenomenal javelin throw for USC.
That was the gal.
Oh, the gal. Well, well, you know, there you go, Bill.
And he has a son that was played in the state high school tournament this year.
Well, so the younger son just won the state high school basketball, you know, championship. Class A. And then there's one in Minot State. That's being playing exceptionally well. I don't know if it's track or basketball or whatever it is, but they're all athletes. And my buddy Nels, and I'm going to say Nels Nelson. I hope you're out there, Nels, listening. I know you're probably tomorrow. You're going to be at the White House Cafe in Devil's Lake having breakfast, because that's what you do. But no, you're this buddy of mine that I used to go party with. These are all his kids, and he was never a sports fan, but he's the biggest sports fan on the planet right now.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet he is. He should be.
Well, he was down there for the tournament and stuff, taking pictures and all. And he took apparently the boys from the Devil's Lake State High School basketball tournament are all down there too, because Grant's
cool.
Grant's like their hero. So no, this is. It's unheard of for us up here in this Dakota land to have a guy like that. Grant's going to be in the NBA. I don't know what kind of player he's going to be, but he's going to be in the NBA. And
is he a good kid?
He's a very good kid. He's
that's most important.
He's a 6'10" kid with a ball handling skills, and he can shoot the ball. And he does not. He's not afraid of anybody. You know, he's used to getting knocked on his butt. Because he's a little frail, but he'll bulk up. But he's a good kid with good grades, and Dad taught these guys well. I don't know. It surprises the hell out of me, knowing me and him, that his kids are as good as they are.
He got good kids too.
Well, yeah, but you know, you just don't know that they're going to be that good. And now this Grant Nelson is one of those guys. He's put North Dakota back on the map, really.
Yeah, he has.
You know, and we're not, you know, when it comes to basketball, Supersonic Steve, you know, they look at us up here, our little 700,000 people that live up in this desert, frozen, barren land.
Frozen tundra.
But, you know, we have produced some of the best basketball minds that have ever existed.
You don't have to look very far either.
No, the Lute Olson, Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
The
Phil Jackson.
Yeah. Phil Jackson. The Dale Brown, LSU.
Dale Brown, Minot.
You know, when Phil was playing for UND, it was Bill Fitch and Jimmy Rogers were the coaches up here. And at one time in the 90s, Jimmy Rogers, Bill Fitch, and Phil Jackson were all NBA head coaches.
Dave Osborne.
Was he a coach? I know he was a running football. Back, wasn't he, for the...
Was Vikings?
That's Bill.
Yeah, for the Vikings. Did he coach?
No, I don't think he did ever.
He
coach.
Did more speaking.
He stayed in Minnesota.
Well, he made money. Well, now you know. Fortunately, we have Dale here because we got to do the Churchill Shoes ad. You guys are talking my ear off.
Monty must need a break.
Monty, all right.
Churchill Shoes is saying goodbye. After over 75 years of catering to all of our footwear needs, Chuck says it's time to retire, and that means unbelievable savings for you. From now until the store closes at the end of May, stop in for the most incredible sale ever at Churchill Shoes. Huge store-wide savings on both men's and women's shoes. Your feet will never be happier than when they're wearing Sash shoes. You'll love them. But hurry, when the store inventory is gone, it's gone for good. 75 years is a long time, and May isn't that far away. Stop and save now at the going out of business sale at Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall from now until the end of May. And Chuck says thank you to all of his great customers throughout the years. We'll miss you, Chuck. Stop into Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall.
I was going to talk a little bit of, this is basketball related too, but this is nil rated or related.
Where are you going to send us here, Bill?
So we're going to the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, do you remember Wisconsin being anything real special in the Big Ten or?
In basketball.
Right, in basketball.
Very, very little.
Okay. They've had, I just know they're a football success.
No, that. they've had a handful of teams that were like noteworthy, but nothing else.
Well, anyways, they've got some guard that entered the portal, and so he's getting looked at by some of the bigger schools and stuff like that, and so he gets an offer to go to Kansas, which is obviously one of the bigger schools. And
basketball school.
Right.
So you're starting to sound like Bill Supersonic. So you two need to get in a room together. You're rubbing off.
So Kansas says they'll give him $750,000 in nil.
What?
To sign. And he turned it down. He said he wants $1 million. Up front.
Are you shitting me? Oh, is that where it's going to?
Oh, man.
And this guy is not, you know, we're not talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar here.
No, I know. That explodes my brain.
To think
you're worth that, you know, the fact that Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are both like at the $3 million nil mark, I understand that because of their marquee value. But you got some guy coming from Wisconsin going to Kansas thinks he's going to demand that? You know, give me a car. Shit, I'll be happy.
Shit, just give me free food. I'd be happy with that.
Well, we talk about when Bill was in school. How many meals did you get a day?
Well, I got 3 meals a day.
Yeah, yeah.
The dorm. Yeah,
yeah. Not
from the cafeteria. Yeah,
yeah. But you weren't the hockey team with the freaking the buffet over at the Ralph.
Yeah.
With the chef. You know, I sit back here and I think about when I was a kid in early high school reading about Bill playing football. And if had nil existed when you were playing Bill?
Oh, I'd have just been rich.
Well,
well, you're rich now, man. I mean,
yeah, woo!
Yeah.
Oh, he
being around this group of people.
No,
it's invigorating.
Just the fact that he could have made money off of nonsense is what's happening right now with pro athletes.
I probably would have been the type of person that I probably would have gone to Nebraska or somewhere just to be at a different level.
Oh, no, I doubt it. I don't doubt that. So, you'd have been offered something else.
This has been like 5-6 years that nil has been active.
I don't even think it's been that long.
Like before or after,
I'd say about 3.
After pandemic started?
Yeah, about then.
Okay, 2021
yeah,
or so?
Well,
my point, though, is that I've known lots of the guys, the athletes that have been at NDSU and UND over the years, and none of them have a bigger name than Bill Deutsch.
No, well, I was just kind of curious, what you've seen the nil just this last 3 or 4 years it's been around, how it's just gotten so all over the place.
Just this year.
I can only imagine how your perspective has been on your end, being a former student athlete at that level, at least on my end, just seeing part of me is really conflicted. Part of me is like, hey, it's great to see student athletes actually getting paid because who knows that they'll have this amount of success in the pro level, so that way they can actually make some decent money for their families and all that too, just take advantage of it while they can. While another part of me is like, wow, this seems a bit out of control, wondering where you sit on it.
There's going to be somewhere where this has to make sense eventually, because people aren't going to be able to give all these players all this money and then still be able to give the schools all the money, because I think the schools are the ones that are responsible for the facilities.
Right. Yeah, you know, that makes sense.
For these facilities and coaches to be good at. And then just to have an audience out there for people to want to donate to their nail.
I'm almost to a point where I would prefer the old system of the under the table. I bought you a car. I brought you here.
They can still get that now officially, right?
But that's the point. Is I would rather have it the underhanded way, where we didn't have to know about it. Where like you have 15 teammates that are getting screwed while you're making $1 million.
Well, and it's going to affect UND when it comes to hockey, too.
It's going to affect them all. It's going to affect
The Big Ten is going to be giving these kids money where UND's not going to be able to afford to do that. They may be able to pick up people on the transfer wire and say, got a nice room that you can stay in, and I got good food for you, but I'm not giving you $1 million to play hockey UND.
No. And you know, we're dealing with Supersonic Steve. This past season, the UND just got beat.
Yeah,
their whole defense corps and their goalie came through the transfer portal. They lost everybody the year before, so now for next season, they have to go back to the transfer portal.
To pick them all back up.
Or pick different ones.
Yeah, to pick different ones up.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And my thought on the whole thing was, as I watched them play into the game where they finally lost, that they didn't have the cohesion that you have as a four-year squad that played together your entire collegiate career. They were good, but they weren't that tight.
And, teammates, yeah,
and as much as they might have tried, it wasn't there, and that's an element that is going to not exist anymore.
Well, how about Northern Michigan? Do you see Northern Michigan?
No, I don't. That's
got the Petone boy as
coach. Grant Pinoli,
They've got 14 guys in the portal.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
I was hearing how some teams lost their entire team,
and that's another thing that just pisses me off is that like a guy like Grant Pinoli recruits these guys, brings them in, gives them an opportunity, and they have a little bit of success, and they're gonna bounce.
Yeah, they're gonna go to Michigan or
Minnesota
or
Minnesota, Wisconsin. Money.
But you brought up UND hockey. I guess we should kind of put a bow on UND hockey.
You cover it. Tell them about it.
As much
pathetic
as
it was.
As much as I
pathetic
as it was. Yeah, they wrapped up their hockey season by losing in the round of 16 in the NCAA Frozen Four tournament to Michigan. They lost 3-4. You know, they were up 2-1 heading into the final period. Things were looking good.
They were up 2-0 to start.
In an arena that's smaller than Purple Arena.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh yeah. Supersonic Steve. So they ended up in Missouri playing.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
So Minnesota, Western Michigan, Michigan State, and Michigan ended up in a regional in Missouri.
Not Minnesota. Was in Sioux Falls,
but it was Michigan State, UND, and one more Western Michigan. So four schools that have some of the best fucking attendance in the entire United States playing in a 2,500 seat arena in Missouri.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Yeah. You know. And like the resale tickets were crazy because of the low capacity.
$1,000 a seat. $1,000 a seat for 2,500.
The guy who did that chose that he should be fired. Yeah. You could put a 20,000 arena in there and they'd probably pack most of it out.
Yeah.
Well, they said the Frozen Four is going to be in St. Louis next year. So they wanted to do it to kind of prepare them for it.
That's
big. To put it at 2,500.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, that makes that for a big sense.
Wait. To clarify, did they declare the stadium or the arena they're going to be in? Is it actually a high capacity arena or is it like another medium capacity one?
Oh, no, they're going to play
St. Louis Blues.
Oh, St. Louis Blues. Okay.
And this was their
practice facility, St. Louis Blues.
Oh, okay.
2,500.
Their practice.
2,500
an auditorium.
Yes. You know,
he saw a lot of empty seats for the semifinal.
There was a ton of empty seats, but I will tell you what, just to get a grasp of 2,500 seats. The Monoman Casino in Monoman, Minnesota, for like concerts.
I went there for a concert last year.
Seats about $2,000. Okay. To these old 80s hipsters and stuff, and to put an ice hockey tournament in front of that is it's ridiculous. It really
I guess
is. It's,
my
it's,
final note on the game was that Jackson Blake, Jackson Coons, and Hunter Johannes, who just signed with the Detroit Red Wings AHL team. I saw that broke earlier today, so a one-year
deal.
Well,
Johannes,
so.
That was his home arena. Though.
Yeah, props to him. Hope it works out well for him.
What was his name? Johannes was a player that came from that. That was his home rink last year.
Right.
And he played his
Lindenwood.
Ass off. Yeah, Lindenwood.
And I saw...
Lindenwood. Okay, Supersonic Steve, Lindenwood College. Does that strike fear into your heart in any sport?
I'd have to say that, to be honest with you, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, see, exactly. I'd rather have a sub sandwich.
I saw something. I saw something today too.
Yeah.
That it said that Western Michigan is going to get a new arena within the next 3 years.
Ooh.
At
good
the
for
cost
them.
Of $270 million.
And they're trying to go for like a five-star RE8 level
complex.
It's going to
be
like?
Better than the RE8.
Just so we're clear, though, Western Michigan has been the team that you don't want to go on the road to because they have the same kind of facility that UND used to have in the old Ralph with like the 6,000 fans right on top of the ice. Treating like a dog all game long.
Lawson Arena, it was
called. Yeah, we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of thing that they've lost over the years is that home rink thing. Bill, you must have been – how many times you ever go to a game in the old Ralph?
Well, that was the first year I came to UND was the first year that it started.
Yeah.
Oh, so, of the original round?
And right. That was a definite
that
home,
was the fall of 73.
A definite home ice advantage where
well, because it was all students on the bottom half of the rink.
Yes. Treating
all the way around the whole rink.
Yeah,
Keith
like
in the
like,
chat is saying the like, Lawson Lunatics.
Like throwing gophers and badgers and live animals on the ice and treating them like dogs. And then we and then we got this big new arena. Where they told us we have to sit down, you can't stand up, and every once in a while we do get a live gopher or a dead gopher or something
thrown out
there.
They find a way.
But it's not anything near what the old place had. And you know, I don't know the money part of it is just if Ralph Engelstad was still alive, Bill, we'd have banners hanging all over the place. Yeah. That's what I think.
Do you know where Northern Michigan is, or where Western Michigan is?
Well, Houghton. It's like
no, that's Michigan Tech.
Well, that's right. So Western Michigan is. I don't know. I thought that
what's
was.
What's the hometown of all the cereals?
All the cereals. I thought Kellogg was that.
Well, yeah, Kellogg is, but. The town is Kalamazoo.
Oh, yeah, Kalamazoo. You know, that's just like one more ridiculous thing you know.
So where in the heck is Kalamazoo? I mean,
sounds like a
how far is that middle of the state?
Town I just from a wanted to get show. Away from Detroit, I think.
So Western Michigan, is Kalamazoo on the border of Wisconsin and Michigan?
Well, it's got to be in the west somewhere there.
Jesus.
Would you like the final four matchups for the Frozen Four here?
Yeah, throw them at us.
Yeah.
Well, there's two Bostons in there, so it could be Boston.
So,
just to preface, Boston College and Boston University are like great hockey schools.
Right.
Damn right.
And we out here, the NCHC has been like a dominant force for like the last decade, and. I think we've kind of slipped a little bit. We've slipped a little bit. But just point out, for all of us right here, right now, Denver's still there.
Yes.
Denver's still there.
All right. So
don't be surprised if Denver comes home.
Don't take Dale's thunder.
I'm not taking his thunder.
It's all right. I thought there was
birthday.
A pause.
It's his birthday. Let it up.
He's going to get his ass kicked tomorrow, though.
Oh, bring it, Monty. Well, I'm guaranteeing victory. No. No. Okay. So we had Boston College defeating Quinnipiac 5-4 in overtime.
And BC is the number one team in the country.
And then we had Michigan defeating Michigan State 5-2. So in the Final Four, it'll be Boston College facing Michigan. And in the other semifinal matchup, we'll have Denver taking on Boston U. And Denver got there by defeating Cornell 2-1, and Boston U got there by defeating the Golden Gophers 6-3. Those are your two Frozen Four matchups. Those will be going on April 11th.
And that was the one redeeming factor of the whole tournament was, so UND lost to Michigan, and then the next day,
Michigan.
The following Gophers
one day after
the Gophers lost to
Michigan State, didn't
Boston,
they?
Boston University, BU, and BU slapped the shit out of them. So in between the hours of UND losing to Michigan, because that's a Big Ten school, and Minnesota losing to BU, the Minnesota crowd down there was like, North Dakota, you guys suck ass. You guys are shitheads. You can't do anything. And then, bam, they're gone too. Best season. Did they win the Big Ten, Minnesota?
I think they won the Big Ten, but I don't think they won the
tournament. They didn't win the tournament, but they won the Big Ten, which they've done for like the last fucking decade. Ever since the Big Ten took Minnesota and Wisconsin away from the WCHA, those two schools have been Wisconsin has sucked ass, but Minnesota has won Big Ten championship, Big Ten championship, Big Ten championship after Big Ten championship, and that's all they're ever fucking going to win.
Monty's livid. It's
asinine.
Did you guys get the Hobie update, too?
Hobie Hedquist?
No, the Hobie Award.
Baker?
The Hobie Baker Award.
Hobie Baker. I could.
Well, who's in contention for that?
I've got it, Dale. You don't have to be looking.
Gotcha. Because
I'm sure Keith already knows what it is.
Okay.
Wait. Just before you start, Bill, is this college football related? No, I'm not fucking with you. Go ahead.
Okay. So they were at 10 people, and you can vote once a day and so forth. So. Right now, they go to what they call the Hobie hat trick, which would be the most amount of votes. And you've got one guy from BC, you've got one guy from BU, and you've got one guy from North Dakota.
Gaber?
Nope.
Oh, Jackson Blake.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, I don't think Gabriel was in the top 10.
No, but I don't.
I think the last time we had somebody in that was we were down in Minneapolis and wasn't Fratton. Fratton was in the top 3.
Yes, he was.
But I don't know if we've had anybody since then. We didn't. Sanderson never made it, did he?
No.
I mean, he would have been.
No, you're absolutely right.
He'd have been a good representative as a Hobie Baker.
And you know, that the whole thing with Jackson Blake. I love the kid, but I would hope to hell we had one more year of him.
But well, I still think he's going to – he hasn't announced anything yet.
No, I know.
I mean, he could have gone by now. Most of the guys that have
– And I'm going to tell you right now that kid might have that little bit of flavor of his dad that he wants to do it one more time to just see. You know, because Jason Blake stuck around for 4 years. And – they won the national championship when he was a sophomore. They should have won two more.
Mm-hmm.
They got upset out in Denver 1-0, you know, in one of those games. And I just, that kid had that, that last volley where he like got knocked out hitting the boards was such an attempt
at a cheap shot.
No, it was like he played the whole goddamn game out to the point where he missed the check and he hit the board and hit his head.
Well, I thought it was a dirty play myself. I think.
You would know you're the dirtiest player that ever fucking existed.
No, that's Ric Flair. Dirtiest player in the game.
I don't know about that.
He's beating you up, man.
No, oh, man.
Oh, it was a weird play.
No, I know it was. I wasn't. And I've always been, I was always like, because I've always been on the precipice that this kid is leaving us. He's not going to stick around. I hope to hell he does. I hope to hell he does because he's as talented as anybody we've had in 10 years, for sure.
Where's he from?
Minneapolis.
Eden Prairie, somewhere down there. But his dad was from Moorhead.
Right.
Actually grew up in Grand Forks to start with.
But he started out like in Fur Estate or somewhere.
Yeah, no. His dad grew up at what was your middle school?
Valley
Middle School. His dad grew up at Valley Middle School, played high school hockey to start with in Grand Forks, went to Moorhead, played for the Spuds, and then went to Ferris State. And then after 1 year at Ferris State, transferred up to University of North Dakota, and he was a sophomore on the 1997 national championship team, and that dude was a stud. For 3 years, he scored goals at will. He was one of those guys that you knew when he came skating in, it was going in the net. And I don't know that I've seen a player like that since. Well, Jason Blake was a hardcore dude, man. I saw him score a goal against the Minnesota Gophers and then skate along the Gopher bench and stick his elbow out and like clip about five of the Gophers as he went by with his elbow.
Wow. Monty, I feel we could go on for this forever, but we're down about a little over 20 minutes left. I know we got a bunch more sports stuff to get through.
What do you want to get to?
Gosh.
So that's the Frozen
Four. Who's running this show?
Well, Dale.
Dale steps up and says, hey, fuck this.
We've been going off about this.
Is that Paul? Is Paul in your ear?
No. But I was just like, it may be time to switch things up. We only got so much time here.
Yeah, we
got
to get wrestling in.
Well, I do know. When it gets into that hockey wheelhouse, that's something I do know, and I can talk all day long about, and I shouldn't be able to because I didn't learn that stuff until way after you, Bill. I came into this shit way after you. I was a basketball guy. I don't know goddamn shit about hockey.
You do now.
You do now.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
Fuck yeah.
Well, that's Grand Forks for you.
That's what it'll do to you.
You're a quick learner.
I wasn't a quick learner.
They can't swim, but they sure can skate.
Oh, no. You brought up beatdowns a little earlier, these big just routings, and it just got me wanting to I was trying to find a way to pivot to some Timberwolves talk because they had a huge shellacking over the Toronto Raptors. Didn't you guys see that huge? I was watching the highlights from that.
I saw some of the game last night.
It was the worst defeat of the Toronto Raptors in the entire franchise history. They defeated them by 48 points, 133-85. Edwards and Naz Reid led scoring for the Timberwolves with 28 and 23 points, respectively. Naz Reid is just doing tremendous work, and they're talking about him being a lead candidate for sixth man of the year for him filling in for Cat here these last
Toronto
weeks.
Did not look good last night.
Well, I guess they're playing with only eight players. They have just a huge plethora of injuries right now, so they are feeling it. And yeah, it was. And actually, like,
no load management then last
no.
night.
Well, like they're. Like Timberwolves rested all their starters for the last quarter, so they're playing string of players.
Just before we go any further, Keith Cummings up there saying he thinks it's going to be all a Boston College BU final.
It could be.
You know, you're pissing me off, Keith. Don't dismiss that Denver team.
But yeah, Big news, though, for the Timberwolves, though, with that win, they tied the Denver Nuggets for first place on top of the Western Conference. So huge deal there.
Well, that's been – that Denver, Oklahoma City, and Timberwolves, flip-flop for the last week and a half. Flip-flop. But do you think really of the three, just to be honest, do you think the Timberwolves or Oklahoma are better than Joker?
No.
You see how fast Supersonic answered that question? You see how fast he answered that question, guys?
Yeah.
That's what I think, too. I think and Joker's been playing like the last week without Jamal Murray.
I think the Timberwolves will get to the second round of the playoffs.
Without Jamal Murray, they're not the same team, but with Jamal Murray.
Six games left of the season. But
Ant and the boys... much better team without Carl Anthony Towns, though. Would you agree? Anybody?
Yep.
No?
Yeah.
Well, Naz Reid has been filling in admirably, and then you had other players stepping up like Jaden McDaniels.
So I'm a Knicks fan, okay? Today was announced that Julius Randle is undergoing season-ending surgery for his shoulder. Good fucking riddance.
Is he a California kid? Is that where he came from?
I don't know. He played at Kentucky to start in college. I don't know where he came from before that. But he has been out like, you know, the Knicks are like fourth place in the East, and they've been waiting for his ass to come back, and they've been playing way better without him. They've been playing with a four guard team basically, and beating most teams, and I'm like. I don't want this guy to come back because he's like Carl.
Who's the best team out of the East? Boston?
Boston is, but you know what? I don't think that team really has that killer instinct, that tenacity. They have Tatum and they have Brown. Jaylen. Is that his name, Brown? Anyway, they have those two stars. And then they have some really good players around them. But when it comes down to, like, really crunch time, it seems like they're all, like, deferring. Bill, you want to defer to somebody? I mean, that's what the sense I get is, like, you either have the guy that with the killer instinct that wants the ball like Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, or you have these guys that want to pussyfoot around and pretend they're great stars. That's what I have.
Just give me the money.
Yeah, exactly. And they think they're this great guy that should be just inherit the throne, and it doesn't come like that. It comes through the performance, and they don't have that. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown.
Is that what you're kind of just get that alpha stud player?
Well, you can be an alpha stud player, but if you don't have that killer instinct, like step on your fucking throat kind of thing.
You want the ball.
Not afraid to be selfish.
Well, okay. So that's the distinction between Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James. Which one of the three doesn't want the ball at crunch time?
LeBron.
Exactly. He wants to fucking get all the accolades, but not the fucking work. Those two
guys. And
then
he wants to leave a minute before the game's over.
Oh, did you see that this week, too?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I missed that.
Yeah. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah.
He did another 40 seconds left in the game. We had to hit to the locker room when they were losing. I mean... LeBron and Kobe never did that. Never. Wilt, Kareem, Magic, Larry, none of them ever did that. This guy does. It's a routine. It's a goddamn routine for him. And for all those young fans out there that think that's great, kiss my ass. Really. This guy.
I'll tell you what, that to me is just the disrespect of the game.
It's a disrespect to your teammates. It's a disrespect to your franchise. It's a disrespect to everybody.
Yep. I saw it and it was like, really? How many times are you going to do that?
He just keeps doing it. He just keeps doing it. And I'm like,
his mind's on Bronny right now.
I did see a quote from LeBron earlier in the week saying he doesn't have long left for the NBA, but I don't know what that
equals. I saw something about that too. I didn't read it though.
Yeah, it was just
good.
They were asking him, you know, he didn't get into specifics, didn't say how many years, but going by context though, like, I'm presuming he still wants to hold out to play with his kid for at least a year or two. So I bet he probably, even though he had
I think he wants to play with both his kids.
Yeah, but I think he. Well, what grades are his kids are at right now? Well,
I don't think his kids are all that good.
They're not. They're not.
A couple more, at least a few more years of seasoning to at least be considered NBA level.
Well, his son plays for USC, and he's like the fourth or fifth leading scorer on the team,
like at 4.9.
Yeah, and if you're so great, you'd be like the 20-30 point scorer on the team.
At least to be able to get
the second kid, in my opinion, might be better, but I don't think he's good enough either. I have seen so shit. In fact, in my opinion, neither one of the James boys are Austin Rivers. Take that to the bank.
Yeah. Well, LeBron is wrapping up his 21st year in the NBA right now. So that's a lot.
But he started
going away.
Yeah, he jumped college. So it's really, if you want to consider 4 years of college, that's really
Doc Rivers, the coach of the Sixers, his son Austin Rivers played for him with the Clippers, and he played for the Timberwolves too, and he is a far better player than those LeBron James sons are, or Scottie Pippen's sons are, or Michael Jordan's sons are, or Shaquille O'Neal's sons are, and they're not getting to the NBA. Just because you're a superstar means jack shit for your sons, basically. Unless you're Archie Manning, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, that kind of thing. It's a different thing.
Well, different sport.
Exception, not the rule.
Well, no, but because you're a great superstar basketball player, it does not translate to your kids being great basketball players. It never has, never will, never, ever, ever will. And as much as LeBron wants to make it that way, it's not going to happen. Those guys are not that good. They're not.
I see Keith has a question for you, which I'm interested to get your response to, but I believe we're due for our last break of the show here.
Well, we better put the golf ad up.
All right, here we go.
Here goes the ad. Dale's here.
The Northland means no golf, right? Wrong. Looking to get in a round of golf in a climate-controlled winter oasis? Want to just whack some balls in the virtual driving range and work on your swing? Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in Grand Forks with more than 90 courses, range venues, and games including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, TPC Sawgrass, and more. All on an incredibly accurate optical-based simulators from driving to putting. Play straight up. Team up for a scramble, play tournaments, or join the two-person scramble league. It's fun for everyone, and all ages are welcome, too. Call or text 701-757-3220 to set up a tee time. Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club at the Columbia Mall, your home for the best indoor golf experience around.
Well, here we're back on. I don't know, you know.
Did Rondo, you see Keith's question for you there?
Well, how about Monty's favorite receiver traded to the Texans? My favorite receiver. Huh.
I think it was, wasn't that Diggs?
Oh, from Buffalo?
Let me double check it there, but
when I read that, I thought it was the Cowboys sending the other guy off, but is that what it is? Diggs to the Texans? I don't know. I don't think that's going to matter one way or the other.
Buffalo Bills traded 4-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans for draft pick compensation yesterday. The Bills received a 2025 second-round pick in exchange for Diggs, a 2024 sixth-round pick, and a 2025 fifth-round pick.
Okay, so a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and a sixth-round pick?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of picks.
Well, it's a lot of picks, but Diggs is a head case that likes to like question the quarterback's calls or the coach's calls, and a phenomenal athlete for sure. He did the Minneapolis Miracle, but
That I leapt out of my seat for that play. That was quite the moment.
Yeah, but it was kind of a fluke moment, really.
Yeah.
It was because the defensive player outplayed himself and then Diggs caught the ball and ran it in. And then Diggs demanded his way out of town. And as a wide receiver, if you demand your way out of town, I have so little respect for you because the quarterback made you. You didn't make yourself. I mean, Justin Jefferson, same guy catching the ball. You know, he's basically in the same spot, basically demanding his way out of town. I don't know, Bill, who are the best receivers you ever played with or were around? The guys you think deserve more money than they ended up getting? Cliff Branch? I mean...
I think, you know, anybody back within the last 5 years probably deserves a lot more than they ever got. It's just amazing how much people can get these days. That, I mean,
well, who was it? Who was Burt Jones' top receiver out there?
I think there was a guy named Carr.
It's not ringing a bell to me, but
he was a white guy.
Raymond Carr.
Raymond Carr. That sounds right.
Yeah.
And who was my buddy? The Chester. Tight end was...
Yeah, Raymond Chester.
Raymond Chester.
Yeah, Chesterfield.
No, yeah, I don't know. I mean, some of the best guys got hurt, too. So, you know, they didn't really get what they really wanted to either. And... it's just, some of these kids, if they get into nil where they're getting $3 million a year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to go through college, and that's $3 million a year. But so they're going to get $15 million in the 5 years they're in college.
Well, or even two. If you get $6 million while you're in college, Bill, what do you care about playing pro football?
Well...
or basketball or baseball or whatever.
And both those girls now, Angel and
Caitlin.
But that Lith girl, the blonde-haired girl, she's staying. And she entered the transfer portal.
Yeah, after a year at LSU.
Right, well...
you know, she's from out here. She's a Cashmere girl.
And but
Cashmere, Washington.
She was at Louisville before she was at LSU. Uh-huh.
And then she got the tough... She drew the assignment of trying to guard Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
Well, she was a tough player. She was right there. I mean...
Well, yeah. She's a good player.
Somebody busts off a three in your face. What are you going to do about it? Well, it happened over and over and over.
Pat him in the back and say, hey, nice shot.
Yeah, but no, I thought that girl, because she just landed on that team... kind of took the brunt of the
she did
the loss. Well,
kind of a weird, you know.
It was like her fault.
Yeah, Caitlin. Like, I mean,
that one Flojo or whatever her name was. Yeah. She was guarding her too there for a while, and I thought she did a better job on her.
Well, a much better job, but she was in foul trouble all game long. That one,
yeah,
because she was like jumping over the top on fakes and stuff like that. And
but
you know,
Caitlin did miss shots too. It isn't like
nine for 21 from three. Yeah. 9 for 21 from three. That's not 50%, but you know, you shoot 30.
That's pretty good though. From three.
30 to 35% is good percentage. So yeah, I you
and
know,
she had some nice rebounds. She had 11 assists.
She had the best passes of the game. And
she could pass.
And
you know what sad is a lot of her passes they didn't know were coming. I mean, she was so far ahead of them. You know, that she'd make a nice pass.
Some of her Iowa teammates are not the best.
No, exactly.
Some of those centers and stuff kind of look like
you know when Bill says that
12 feet.
When Bill says that, it kind of sounds like when he's going back to his days and he's saying, "Well, they were on the team.
They were my teammates. They were my teammates.
You hope they
were
some,
on the team.
You hope they get some good rebounds."
Oh.
Well, we're down to our last 5 minutes here. Final topics from everyone here.
I got one thing to say about my Cougars. So we lost our head basketball coach because he went to Stanford. We lost 2/3 of our basketball team because they're transferring the NLI or NIL. And the game has changed so much that, like, the little schools like North Dakota, WSU, it's hard to compete because we just don't have the backing that these other Michigan or, you know, Notre Dame, Washington, LSU have. And I think it's separating the smaller schools from the bigger schools in a way that's not healthy for the sport.
And they went in the portal. Is that what they did?
Yeah, they all went in the portal.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bad deal that anybody in these up and coming leagues, you know, they're going to lose their best players.
I mean, yeah,
I'm with you. It's 1,000%. Sad. Yeah.
But do you blame the kid? I mean, if you're going to get $750,000.
No, I don't blame the kid at all. I just blame the system. I think the system is broke.
It's ridiculous. It really is. It's like we went from you can't buy a meal. You can't fly a kid home to a funeral. You can't fly.
Right.
You know, we went from that to all out. We can pay you whatever we want to pay you.
We can give you whatever vehicle you want.
Yeah, we can put you in a house. You know,
I heard stories, guys are buying their parents Rolls Royces and shit like that. I mean, it's like, really? I mean,
yeah.
That's a little over the top. And just, you know, brain dead guy out of fucking Seattle. But, you know, I think it's ruining the sport. I do. It's probably just my opinion, but I think it's ruining the sport.
Well, it started out there on that left coast. No.
It probably did. I wouldn't doubt it.
I say it started in Miami is where it started, I think.
No, I it's hard to say where it started, but Miami, what when Michael Irvin was there?
Well, no, you know, I'm just thinking I'm real nil stuff.
Well, I'm thinking
that
about
got on board with it right away.
Cocaine on a plate in a motel room is what I'm thinking about.
Erickson. Yeah. Dennis Erickson. Yeah. He was the coach down there back in Jimmy Johnson. Yeah.
But no, I just don't know. You know, to put a finger on where it started or how it started, it just has. You know, I'm a purist, and I'm like, I can't believe that these conferences have disintegrated like they did when they the conferences.
Could you imagine if you said 10 years ago that it's all going to be different?
No,
I mean,
no, not at all.
What was wrong with the way it was?
No.
Well, didn't they say that Oregon State's going somewhere?
Probably.
Did I hear that this week?
I didn't hear that, but.
Well, they have to.
Wouldn't surprise me. Somebody probably picked them up. Well, although they were terrible.
I thought it was Big Ten, though.
Well, fuck the Big Ten.
Yeah, it could have.
The Big Ten, I hope the Big Ten collapses on itself, is what I hope. In all sports. They deserve that.
They've got to separate football from all the rest of them. I think.
I do, too.
Well, Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Traveling.
Football can play. They play once a week, so they can fly back and forth or do whatever or have a couple games that are going to be close. Like, you know, if Washington State's going to play Oregon State or Washington or, you know, even California is probably some of them might even be able to bust too. I don't know. You'd know better than I do, but.
Yeah. But
you know, going to Miami.
What about golf? What about baseball? What about basketball?
I think, you know, those should just stay in regular conferences.
And that's been Bill's argument for a long time, is because same thing with UND and NDSU, is that their subpar sports are now having to compete D1.
Right.
And they're going nowhere. So they're going nowhere.
Do they have, like, girls golf and all that stuff for you guys back there, too, as a –
Well, they've eliminated a lot of the men's sports.
Well, they have girls golf. They I think the golf alumni are actually paying for.
Yeah,
for
I thought the, they, it was the on men's the. And the women's. I thought it was on the cutting room floor when baseball got cut right. and the night and women's hockey got cut.
But they're
the
doing
boosters
it
are
where,
saving it.
Yeah, you know, they're just going to maybe to Omaha or St. Paul or somewhere.
It's very for, small in scope
for tournaments.
Yeah.
It isn't like they're going out to California and down to.
So Miami. Does their athletic department make money?
I don't know that there's too many that
I
do.
I would say they're more self-sufficient, that they don't require money from the state or anybody else. And when they do that, then they should be allowed to exist.
I guess last thing I got for me is, did you guys hear Carson Wentz's new team?
Oh, I did, but I forget.
He's going to be the Patrick Mahomes' backup.
Raiders.
He's going to be with the Chiefs.
Raiders, yeah.
No,
he's oh, Kansas City.
Kansas City, yeah.
Same difference. They both suck.
Backing up Mahomes. Fifth team in 5 years for Carson Wentz.
Well,
so.
Minnesota still has like five quarterbacks on their roster still.
The Vikings?
Yeah. They got Jalen whatever, and they got
Jared Hall.
Just
Jared
fucking Hall. Shoot me. Just fucking shoot me. They're
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Sam Darnold might be the best one of them.
Might be their best bet. Oh, gosh.
The draft is coming right around the corner.
Yeah,
so
I've been listening.
You should sign Colin Kaepernick.
Oh.
You guys should sign him. He'd fit right in back there in Minnesota.
I might put a cross in your yard.
he's from Iowa. Minnesota might be a good place for him.
Other than that, going to be watching way too much wrestling this weekend. WrestleMania 40.
I can't help myself, Steve. I can't.
That's all I got. Final thoughts for either of you? Keith, you stoked for WrestleMania?
All right. That's all I got.
All right. You got your wrap-up, Monty?
Supersonic Steve. We'll leave you with
Take
that.
Care, guys.
Oh, I think it may.
Talk next week.
Monty, I think it may be.
See you, Super.
Be in your pile.
Supersonic Steve.
See you, Steve.
Where are you? All right. Take care, guys.
Peace out. While Monty's looking for his wrap-up, I'll just say WrestleMania is a good card. Two nights this weekend. Watch it on Peacock, especially the WrestleMania SmackDown kickoff on Friday night. Paul Heyman's getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. I'm so looking forward to his induction speech. It's going to be amazing. And then, big, big card. Super stoked. What do you got, Monty?
I got it. So, you guys want to check in tomorrow on that big video game? It's going to be something else. That Super Pixel Pros.
Well, Paul's going to win.
We are going to be doing some kicking ass in there. I've been preparing. I'm going to wear a belt out of there, I think, tomorrow. Oh, yeah. So thank you for tuning in to tonight's Fork Sports Highway. Catch us live every Thursday night at 6:30 right here on Grand Forks Best Source, live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and now partnering on millions. Find our past shows by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media apps. That's all for today. We'll see you next week.